So I think I'm cursed with national parks. Both the Smokies and the Shenandoahs, I was mostly hiking through the rain.
Oh no.
And it was bitterly cold. Even in the Shenandoahs a month ago was, there was one day where we were soaked and freezing. It was on June 21st, Naked Hiking Day. And I could
Oh
hardly do Naked Hiking Day because it was so cold.
no.
Still did it though for a little bit.
For a little bit, did anybody like out of your trail family see you and be like, "What the hell?"
Oh, it was pretty common out here for through hikers to drop their drawers on Naked Hiking Day.
Awesome. Freaking awesome.
The bushwhacks were some of the worst days I've ever had in the mountains, or life, really.
And I tell people all the time, never underestimate the Catskills. You can't underestimate them.
Why the Catskills is such a great place for trout.
It is really the development of New York State. Catskills were responsible.
Now you're listening to Inside the Line, the Catskills.
So Dylan, how you doing live from the Appalachian Trail, my friend?
I am doing great. I'm feeling good, feeling alive.
Hell yeah, man. I can't wait to ask you questions, man. I know I had this conversation with Mo, but like not live right now. Like Dylan's just letting the listeners know. Dylan's in it right now. He's over 1,000 miles, right?
Yeah, I'm at 1,266 miles.
Jesus, awesome.
I got off. My second cousin lives here in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. And I got off to take a little zero day, do some laundry, eat some food.
Nice. Nazareth. I'll look that up real quick just to see,
It's
because
a
I was
quintessential Pennsylvania town for sure. All the houses are right up on top of each other. Definitely feels like Pennsylvania.
Nice. So how's the just a quick chat, how's the air quality down there, man?
It's been okay until today, and there's definitely some smoke in the air today. So
Okay.
picked a good day to get off trail.
Yeah, definitely. We've had where it's starting to hit. Well, I think we're at like 160 right now with the QI AQI or something like that. So it's starting to move and it stinks. Not
Couple
really.
weeks ago, I was blowing my nose and there was just like white soot in my snot from just inhaling it all day. It was really
Wow.
nasty.
Where was that at?
That must have been Virginia somewhere.
Can't believe it's going down that far.
Yeah, it's been down south. It's been something.
Wow, you're dude, Nazareth, holy crap. You are booking.
Yeah, well past the halfway point, almost to
Yeah.
the New Jersey border. I'll be in New
Yes.
Jersey probably 2 or 3 days.
Crazy. Crazy. So, everyone, welcome to episode 84 of Inside the Line, the Catskills. I had talked with Dylan previously about having like a live event on from the Appalachian Trail, and he was just like, yeah, just I'll give you a heads up and stuff like that today. It's Monday the 17th, and he's just like, hey, you available? I'm like, hell yeah, I'm available. So Dylan, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Yeah, dude, I've been following you online, and I've been looking forward to your updates and stuff, and your pictures are phenomenal.
Well, I appreciate it. I love taking photos out here and videos, and there's so much to see.
I freaking bet. I'm 1,000 over 1,000 miles in. I hope there is.
It's great. I love the stimulus of it all. Every day is something new.
I bet, man. I bet. So, thank you to the monthly supporters, Darren White, Vicky Ferrara, John Comiskey, Jim C, Michael Bonger, David Mead, Matt Smith, and Sharon Klein. Thank you guys for supporting the show. Also, check out Outdoor Chronicles Photography. Molly from Outdoor Chronicles Photography specializes in adventure elopement and adventure couple photography in the Catskills, Adirondacks, and White Mountains. She is also an officiant for getting married and a licensed guide, but she is also a story maker. Molly won't give you just photos. She'll give you memories that will last forever. Don't hesitate to get a hold of Molly on all platforms. Also, have you ever wanted to learn about hiking or backpacking, or even just brush up on your old skills in the backcountry? Check out Trailbound Project, a hiking and backpacking school. Scott and Joe from the New Jersey Search and Rescue Team have amazing backgrounds in wilderness first aid, wilderness first responder, and the Mountain Rescue Association, and they are there for you to learn and teach old schools of hiking and backpacking. They teach everything from first aid, map and compass, to many other skills that could help you out while on the trail. Check them out on the website and all social media platforms. So, Dylan, you having anything to drink tonight while you're on the zero day?
I sure am. I'm enjoying a Voodoo Ranger Imperial IPA. It's one of my favorite trail beers because it's the most bang for your buck at 9%. If you're going to carry it in, make it count.
That is good. Well, yeah, 9%. Jesus. Now, are you doing, do you carry this once in a while? Like, do you pick up like a six pack and carry it with you or no?
Not a six pack, but I will get one of these tall boys. What is it? It's 32 ounces. It's a pint.
Oh, wow. Nice. Or,
and yeah, I'll carry that once in a while. I'll drink it warm at the end of the day.
How's that feel? That's I mean, it's probably not that bad.
Or if you get to a spring, you know, chill it in the spring for a half hour and you got an ice cold beer after doing like a 20-mile day.
Nice. Nice, man.
Lay out in the hammock and relax.
Rock on. Oh, that's a good question. I'll add that too. Awesome, man. I'm glad you actually, I was curious. I'm like, I wonder if he's drinking anything or something. So that's good. While. Yeah, I'm having an Awestruck Blackberry. So I don't know. You're from Binghamton, right?
Yeah, I know where Awestruck is. I've been there. I've sat in the school bus.
It's a great place, isn't it?
You know, right before I left, they were looking for somebody to become a master cider maker. I was like, wow, that's a cool job opportunity.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out. Are you going to come back and do that?
Probably not, but I thought about it for a moment.
Rock. Awesome. Awesome. So once again, as I support all the time, volunteer, 3500 Club, Traxel Trail Crew, Catskill Mountain Club, Visitors Center, volunteer anywhere. It'll make a huge difference. Yeah, basically I'm going actually tomorrow, Tuesday, I'm going up and doing my trail maintenance on Camel's Hump to Thomas Cole Mountain. So I'm excited for that.
Oh, awesome.
Now, yeah, I'm hoping to have good views, but I highly doubt it. So there's a lot of storms coming in. So we'll see.
When's the last time you were out there?
Ooh, it's been like since last November, I think.
Okay, so I'm sure there'll be some blowdowns and stuff to work on.
Yeah, I have, with the blowdowns, there's not much for my area. But I do have like prickers and all the tall grass and stuff like that I got to cut. Coming down right from Camel's Hump, it starts getting really nasty. Oh, yeah. instantly. So I have a tough section just getting up there is like 2.5 miles. So that's, and then I have only like a mile of trail to do that. So it'll be fun. I always enjoy doing that. It's one of my favorite hikes in the Catskills. Definitely a good gem going from Barnum Road.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there.
Rock on.
I do miss the Catskills. And listening to your podcast kind of brings me to home sometimes when I listen to it time to time when I'm hiking, and it's like, oh, nice to hear, you know, about home a little bit.
Good, man. Good. Thank you. I'm really glad you're listening to the show and it's bringing you some memories and stuff like that of the Catskills. I mean, soon you'll be able to see them from the other side of the Hudson.
Oh, totally. Yep.
Yeah. And you'll just be like, I'm you're going to probably take the long path. Take the long path up there. You want to go the long path. Now, I had a question, but I forgot. So we were going to do some Catskill. I didn't have anything planned for Catskill Mountain history. Sorry about that. I should have found somebody, like an Appalachian Trail story or something like that, but I don't have anything. I'm sorry, Dylan.
All good.
All right. Let me get on to the last of the sponsors. So is it time, do you think, for new gear at hiking in the Catskills? Say no more. Camp Catskill in Tannersville has all your hiking needs. Footwear, socks, moisture-wicking shirts, freeze-dried meals, Catskill merchandise, and even more. They have all the essentials for your hiking needs, and they are located in Tannersville and online. check out Camp Catskill when you're in the area. So also, if you're ready to hit the trails, make sure you take the scenic route. Our guides are here to help you with your goals, big or small, like Marcy or Slide or Lone or the Sewards. Check out Scenic Route Guiding and Gear Rentals on Instagram and Facebook for more information. Also, if you mention the podcast, you can get 10% off. Use the code Mountain Lion. Dylan, you see any of those? Hundreds.
I've seen a few mountain lions so far. They've been coming sniffing around my campsite.
Any beautiful, like, and they're like, hey.
You know, I leave them a peace offering and they leave me alone.
Nice. Nice.
A little piece of jerky.
Yeah, you probably have met some people call them cougars. You probably have met some of those on there.
They've tried to make me their pool boy
with that freaking six pack that I saw. Yeah.
Jesus. I've got options when I'm done with the trail, that's for sure.
Are you freaking like running the trail and then doing like 2,000 push-ups afterwards?
Actually, I've been thinking recently I need to start working on my upper body strength some more because I'm losing it a little bit.
Really?
It's all legs.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean you're pushing it. You're pushing it pretty good.
But when I get to a camp I like and there's other hikers around, I offer to go get their water from the spring so I can, you know, have something to carry up and use the arms a little bit.
Nice.
And that's how you make friends.
Exactly. You know, I've heard some great stories of making friends down there. And, you know, I've made some friends from the Appalachian Trail when I went down to Shenandoahs. And we'll talk about the Shenandoahs later. I can't wait to talk about that. So, all right. So, everyone, let's welcome guest of the night, Dylan Utter, live from the Appalachian Trail.
Let's go.
Over 1,000 miles in. Dylan, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Dude, I was, you know, it's funny because I was talking to my wife the other day. I'm like, I know Dylan's over 1,000 miles. I'm like, he said on a zero day or day where you get service, he's going to contact me. I'm just like, I don't know when it is, but it's probably going to be soon. And today I'm just like, he contacted me and she's like, all right. We just got back from getting something to eat. And I was like writing questions when we were ordering. I was just like, oh, what else should I ask? So I'm excited, man. Good to hear from you and good to, I can't wait to listen to your story, sir.
Yeah. I'm glad this worked out.
Definitely. So why don't you, Dylan, give a little background about yourself, to start into the episode.
So, I'm originally from the Binghamton, New York area, more specifically, Appalachian, New York, which is kind of ironic, a little small town outside of, Binghamton. And I grew up there. I still live there in small town Endicott. Fun fact, where IBM was founded.
Nice.
And I'm an artist. I went to art school in Manhattan. And I've always spent a lot of time outdoors and doing smaller hikes, but it wasn't until I left the city that I really got into hiking. And my first experience to hiking a mountain was Balsam Lake Mountain.
Nice.
I was bored one Sunday and I asked a friend, I said, hey, let's do something different. There's this fire tower. It looks like, you know, it doesn't look too bad of a hike. Let's go try this out. And it was a lot more than I bargained for. We went up the steep route from Beaverkill Valley.
Ooh, and nice.
Huffing and puffing up there. And then you get to that beautiful view spot. And I was hooked. Talked to the volunteer there. And he was pointing out all the different high peaks you could see from there. And I was like, wow, I need to do all of these.
So that got you hooked into there.
Yeah, that got me hooked. And so the next weekend I was back out there and the next weekend and soon enough I had done all 35. Fortunate that Double Top and Graham were still open when I was hiking out there because those are two of my favorites. And
yeah,
I was excited that it's a shame that those got close to the public, but you know, I understand why, but I always found Graham to be pretty interesting. And then of course the mossy top of Double Top was just, you know, it's like a fairy tale land up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. Graham does have its own beauty just because of I love the weather up there. The weather is definitely different.
And it, you know, when you're driving towards that area, it has a unique profile too.
Definitely. They both do. They both have a great, unique profile. It's awesome. It sucks, but understandable. We both understand. We both know why.
So I got more involved with the Catskills, of course, you know, made some good friends out there, became a fire tower volunteer at Red Hill. So I've been doing that for the past 4 or 5 years and looked elsewhere after finishing the Catskills. I was like, I got to do the Adirondacks. And then I got into backpacking. And so the next logical step was to through hike the AT, and here I am.
Nice. So like, how long did it take you to make that decision to hike on the AT? Cause that's to me, that's a freaking insane decision. Like that's got to take a long time.
Well, our mutual friend, Mo, I met him in the Catskills and he was telling me so many great stories from his through hike. And he kind of inspired me to do it. I already loved backpacking anyways. And after hearing his story, I was like, you know what? That sounds like something I want to do. And so I planned it probably 2020, like during the height of the pandemic. And I said, when I turn 30, that's what I'm going to do. And I had just turned 30 this past year. And here I am.
Nice. So when you were like backpacking, how was the transition into hiking the backpacking? Was it crazy? Because I found that to be pretty crazy when you carry like, you know, 30 pounds, maybe 20, 30 pounds during the day. And then all of a sudden you go into that massive, maybe sometimes 40 to 50 pounds.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, as any beginner was, like, I did not have any of the gear. And I had the smallest, most unequipped backpack. And my first backpacking trip was from Platte Clove to Palinville and up and over Catterskill High Peak. And nice. I mean, my shoulders were killing me. I brought way too much stuff. And we camped out not far from Poets Ledge. But I had a blast doing it. And, you know, that got me hooked into backpacking. And so gradually started accumulating different pieces of equipment and researching things. And then it just kind of made sense, especially when I was doing the Adirondacks. I'd want to, you know, because that's like a 5-hour drive from me.
Yeah.
If I'm going to make the trip up there, I want to knock off multiple peaks at once. So it made sense to backpack in, find like a base camp, and then hit peaks from there.
So you're a 35er, right?
Yep, I'm a 35er.
Okay. Are you a 46er?
And a 46er, yep.
Nice, man. Man, there's so much. I didn't know that about you. And I didn't know you volunteered at Red Hill. That's awesome.
I love volunteering at Red Hill. That's I usually do holiday weekends. So Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend, and Columbus Day weekend. It's traditionally when I volunteer. And I hope to still make it up there for Columbus Day weekend this year.
Nice. That has got to be one of the most comfortable places. I know it's like it's all mowed and stuff like that, but just seeing those ferns and everything is just beautiful.
Oh, it's a great place to hang out. And two of the weekends I worked there were record setting for the number of visitors that came up. One weekend was well over 200 people, which is more than any other time that Red Hill has seen that much foot traffic.
Wow.
And it's a lot to deal with. You have people running all over the place and you got to make sure no more than 6 people go up in the tower at a time. So I'm kind of like standing at the base, but kind of looking around and trying to help people out at the same time. It was a lot to handle, but it's fun and it's good to socialize with people, help them out, tell them about different hikes in the area. And a lot of locals hike up there too. So it was fun to hear stories from them. People that have been coming up since they were kids. And while the tower was still manned by forest rangers and lookouts, so that was neat too.
Now, was that before or after they created that new trail?
So I've been volunteering before that new trail.
Wow.
But I love the new trail. The new trail makes it a lot more accessible.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it makes it more various. So 200, you know, cars aren't parking on that one little area.
Oh yeah, and that one road is just a mess.
Ooh,
I
remember
my first time going down there. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get back up.
Correct. Yeah, I did that in the winter, and I was just like, I think I had to park like 2 miles out right by where the real road meets the dirt road. And I was just like, this is going to be fun.
nicest privy in the Catskills too.
Correct.
You got lights and framed artwork.
True.
Got true. The work.
I gotta admit, those thunder boxes are some of the best too.
Oh yeah.
So what's your trail name?
My trail name is Dreamsicle.
Dreamsicle. What's the story?
Well, I got my trail name on day one, which is kind of unconventional, but I got it because I was wearing all orange.
Nice. Was there any, you just want to be seen or something like that, or it's just your color?
Well, just my color. And there was a family up at top of Springer Mountain in Georgia, where just the southern terminus of the trail. And they asked if I had a trail name. I said, no, not yet. I mean, I've only been out here for a few hours. And another thru hiker, it was also her first day, Lucky, who I've been hiking with for a long time now, she kind of coined the name for me, which was kind of cool. Before the family could give me something not so cool. And I liked it. I didn't know if it would stick or not, but it definitely stuck. And now that's the name I go by out here.
Nice.
When somebody calls me Dylan, it actually feels a little weird.
Oh, that's going to be weird when you get back.
Right?
Like, no, I'm changing it. You're going to be like, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of those, like, basketball players that change his name to Ocho, or a football player, or something like that. You're going to be like, no, I'm changing it to Dreamsicle, sorry.
And I developed my own little signature, because I love to draw and stuff. So in all the shelter logs, you know, I have my own distinct little signature I sign in. And it's fun, because, you know, you meet people. Like, just the other day, I met this guy. He's like, well, I've been a day behind you for the past 800 miles, and now I finally know who Dreamsicle is.
Nice. That's so cool. Freaking 800 miles, and now he's caught up. He's like, I caught up with you. You're famous. Nice. So, talking about hiking family, do you have a hiking family? You know, I've heard about these.
I had a couple little trail families for a while.
Trail family. Okay, sorry.
They come and go. I'm not a big trail family fan because there's just too many people. So I've been exclusively hiking with my friend Lucky for over 1,000 miles now. I've awesome. Found like two or three people is much more easier to make decisions. And you kind of work as a team too. And I've done a lot of time hiking solo as well.
Nice. How is like hiking with the trail family? The decisions you guys have to make, like when you're going to do 0 days or something like that, or like where you're going to stop for water. What does that involve?
It was mostly like, yeah, where people want to stop, take a 0 day or go into town. And for some people that works out great. But for me, I'm kind of like, you know, spur of the moment kind of guy. And, you know, if I feel like leaving the trail on a whim, then I can. And it's much easier if you're not with a whole group of people. But starting out, it was nice to have like a group to hang out with, you know, because everything's so new.
Yeah. So did you do any, besides the backpacking, did you do any other training for this? Like, you know, I know Mo is very, very wealthy on information with the Appalachian Trail, but, you know, I could only imagine like maybe preparing for like injuries, stuff like that. Did you do any like other training besides backpacking?
Really just going out in the field. Also, another one of our mutual friends, Josh Gorsch, he's helped me out quite a bit. He's quite the gearhead, and he let me try out a lot of his gear and stuff, and we took it out on smaller trips to see what works. And if I liked something he had, I would go and buy it. He taught me a lot of knots and stuff too. So really just being outside, going on smaller, you know, 2-3-4 day backpacking trips, seeing what works, what doesn't work. That got me really prepared for this.
Now, how's the weather been for you so far?
It has been all over the place. I can't complain though. We've had some beautiful weather out here, but then we've also dealt with tropical storms, freezing cold weather and rain and the Smokies. And then of course the wildfire smoke has been an added thing. I'm thankful though, no drought conditions, which was something I was worried about, but water has been pretty plentiful, even in Pennsylvania, which tends to be really dry, especially in July.
Yeah, they've been getting some storms, so that's very good to hear. And I've heard about stuff like that as well with the drought and area, different areas. You kind of have to like hear the stories from others or get more information and be like, so like, you know, did they have water here? So we're gonna have to push it to this next day. So that's some pretty tough like thoughts and thinking and planning.
I'm thankful I haven't had to do very long water carries where, you know, you have to fill up like 4 or 5 liters and carry it for miles. Like even seasonal springs that are generally dry this time of year have been flowing, which is a treat. It's nice to see.
So, so far, how's Pennsylvania treating you, buddy? I've heard it's a treat.
Pennsylvania's rocky, and a lot of other hikers I talk to say it's their least favorite state so far. But for me, it's nostalgic, and I love Pennsylvania because I've done a lot of backpacking here. Black Forest Trail, the Loyal Sock Trail, the West Rim Trail at the Grand Canyon. So Pennsylvania, and it's so close to home, you know, it feels really good to be here. So I don't mind Pennsylvania. The rocks can be a little bit of a pain, but it's not that bad.
Well, I think Pennsylvania is very unique. I mean, I've hiked down there once in my life, so... But when I follow, you know, I get to follow you and I follow some more Appalachian Trail hikers. Seeing like the ridge you get to walk on is really pretty cool because you're on the, you know, not saying the Appalachian Trail, but the Appalachian Mountains, that it's just a long ridge of like 30, 40 miles of just one ridge. It's amazing.
Yeah. And it feels remote, which I really like too. You get to some sections and there's nobody around. You don't hear any traffic noises, and you really get that nice remote wilderness feeling out here sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. Where did you, when you were down in, Nazareth, when you're down in Nazareth, where'd you like get dropped off at or get picked up at? Was that the Liberty Gap?
Blue Mountain okay. Road right before Wind Gap.
Nice.
I have a second cousin that lives out here. I haven't seen him in years, but he's been looking forward to me getting to this point for a while. And I was all about hopping off trail. He has a pool, got to do a little swimming, hang out.
How many 0 days have you had so far? Do you think
all together? Probably like 10.
Oh, wow.
When I was getting close to Damascus, I took a few days off to slow down because I wanted to hike into trail days rather than hike past Damascus and have to find a ride back to trail days.
Uh-huh.
So I did kind of like a work for stay at this hostel, awesome hostel called Boots Off. And basically I just helped them shuttle around hikers and stuff for 3 or 4 days and had a blast there. And then 2 days before trail days, I took off and hiked the 40 miles and got to trail days and continued from there. So a couple of 0 days here and there. I like Nero days where you hike a little bit, get off trail, and then, you know, get back on. Nice. I prefer that. But once in a while, you do just need to take a day off, rest the feet, indulge.
Yeah. How many days have you been at it?
About 90 now. I started on April 5th.
And you're like, what's your pace? Like, how many miles per day do you think so far?
Anywhere between 15 to 20, 25.
Nice.
Wow. Depends on the terrain. Depends on what time I wake up.
And how are you sleeping on the trails like that? Is it tough or?
I sleep great. I sleep like a log. I sleep better than in beds because I sleep in a hammock and I just float and rock to sleep and good airflow.
Wicked. That sounds awesome. So where's the hardest area that you've had so far?
Most difficult area. So far. That's a tough question. There's been tough spots everywhere. I would say starting out though in Georgia was pretty difficult, probably because I didn't have my trail legs yet. But also there's a lot of ups and downs. You're not on a ridge line as much. You go up a mountain, you go down, and you go back up and you go down. And also, you're just trying to figure things out, figure out your weight. So I would say Georgia and North Carolina were some of the tougher areas. Tennessee wasn't bad.
That looked fantastic, by the way. Your pictures of Tennessee was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Tennessee is beautiful. Virginia, not so much difficult. It's just long. You're in Virginia for over 500 miles, and it felt like it lasted forever. And Virginia is really cool, but kind of gets old after a while. It was nice to get into Maryland and be in a different West Virginia and Maryland. And then the trail gets really easy in Maryland. Like, we did Maryland in like a day and a half, 2 days.
Oh, wow. Now let's, now that you're down talking about that southern part of the Appalachian Trail, what did you think of the Shenandoahs?
So I think, I'm cursed with national parks, both the Smokies and the Shenandoahs. I was mostly hiking through the rain.
Oh no.
And it was bitterly cold. Even in the Shenandoahs a month ago was, you know, there was one day where we were soaked and freezing. It was on June 21st, naked hiking day. And oh, I could hardly do naked hiking day because it was so cold. Still did it though for a little bit.
For a little bit. Did anybody like out of your trail family see you and be like, what the hell?
Oh, it was pretty common out here for through hikers to drop their drawers on naked hiking day.
Awesome. Freaking awesome. Yeah, dude, when my wife and I went down to the Shenandoahs, and we loved it. It was beautiful. It reminded me just like the Catskills. It seriously feels just like the Catskills.
I love the waysides because snacks and food and stuff, drinks.
Correct. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, a lot of that's where we fell in love with Trail Magic, and we started bringing stuff up on our hikes for the last like 4 or 5 days.
Oh, cool.
It was so cool. We met so many cool people. Jessica loved talking with the ladies about through hiking because it's totally different for us than it is them. They have a bunch of different more challenges. So she loved talking with them, and we would kind of like get off on the Skyline Drive and just pick a trail and then meet people, give them soda, M&Ms, apples, whatever they wanted. And I dumped everything out. And Jessica's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I got 2 12 packs and I got a bunch of this, bunch of that. And I'm like, I search and rescue is like 60 pounds. So this is nothing.
I look forward to being a trail angel myself after this. It looks like fun. Honestly, I can totally hang out at a road crossing all day and grill up some burgers and stuff and talk to hikers. It sounds like a good time.
It does. And, we were going to plan on going up to New Hampshire, Jessica and I, but I think we can only go late September. So I think a lot of people are going to be done with that by now, by then.
Probably by late September.
Yeah. So we'll have to plan that earlier in the year and get up to New Hampshire before that, or go back down to the Shenandoahs.
Cool fact about Skyline Drive, though. Apparently that used to be the old route for the Appalachian Trail. Because it was so rainy when we were out there, a lot of hikers were just road walking, and I learned a new term called retro blazing. And so a lot of people were just doing the road walk just to stay out of the puddles and the blowdowns and stuff from the storm.
Wow, that stinks. I thought Shenandoahs were absolutely stunning. That sucks, man. I really wish you had some.
That's okay. I have to go back there and the Smokies and get a better taste, you know.
Hopefully, knock on wood before you go, man. Knock on wood. Let's get all the bad energy out of there. For some reason, that's why national parks don't like you.
Also, I don't like the camping there because you got to camp at or near shelters, which kind of makes it difficult to plan your day. You can't just hike until you're done hiking and, you know, camp off trail. You really got to plan, like, you know, look at the map and see where the next shelters are, plan your day around that. And in the Smokies, especially, if you're in a shelter, which I only spent one night in a shelter, but day hikers and section hikers have priority. So you could be in the shelter with 16 other through hikers. And if a day hiker comes by and wants to stay in the shelter, somebody has to get out, which I found to be quite an interesting rule. Kind of unfair rule, but.
That is ridiculous. I've never heard of that. Wow.
Yeah, it was like 11 o'clock, really cold, rainy night, and we're all asleep. There's probably 16, 18 people, you know, we're shoulder to shoulder in this thing. And a section hiker comes in and is like, hey, one of you guys has to get out of the shelter because, you know, I have a permit to stay here tonight. And we all look over to this person and we're just like, shut up.
Really? Wow. So they have to get permits to stay in there and they can.
Yeah, you kind of make like a reservation or something to stay at these shelters. I don't know why anyone would do that during through hiking season when they know there's tons of hikers out there.
Yeah, correct. I mean,
I was fortunate though. A lot of people encounter snow in the Smokies. I didn't get any snow, which was nice, but it sure felt cold enough to snow.
That would have been interesting.
And I don't mind, you know, obviously I love winter hiking and backpacking, but I wasn't really prepared for that on a through hike. I had warm clothes and stuff, but.
So one of the big questions I have is that I'm not a crazy backpacker, but the meals, like if you're out in the wilderness for oh so long, like of course there's freeze dried meals, but those got to get boring after a while. What are your plans and stuff like that for different kinds of meals other than like the boring freeze dried meals?
Oh, we get creative out here. One of my favorite things has been like charcuterie.
Oh, nice.
Like really hard cheeses and cured meats and olives and stuff like that is great. Little hacks like adding olive oils to your meal and stuff for extra protein and fats. A lot of cookies and junk food. Sometimes we do the freeze-dried meals, but I found that actually putting those in wraps spice things up a bit. And then you can add different ingredients to that too.
Nice. Are you getting bored with anything of meal wise?
Oh yeah, I'm bored with everything.
Well, yeah.
Oatmeal, trail mix, jerky, you name it. Tuna, I can't even think about tuna anymore. Like
So what about like water? Are you like, is water kind of like freaking hitting you like, God, this is horrible?
Oh, I love water. I mean,
okay.
I drink probably some days, especially when it's hot, like 7 or 8 liters a day.
Oh,
sometimes
wow.
More. It just goes right through you. And electrolytes are great. I love liquid IV. Liquid IV is awesome. And yeah, I drink a lot of water.
Nice. Well, that's good to, because I've heard some people get so sick and tired of the taste of water. And then they run out, like, you know, of like you said, the electrolytes and stuff like that. And they like are miserable and they hate their life.
I mean, you get thirsty out here. And so, yeah, water is great, especially when it's ice cold and coming out of a rock. Like, it's a beautiful thing. And you camel up, you drink as much as you can there, and then you carry the rest. And yeah, I haven't gone thirsty yet. It's been nice.
Nice. And that's good with the meals, man. That sounds like a great plan, the charcuterie and stuff like that. Now, do you, when you're with your trail family, do you guys kind of like plan on those days and be like, I'll carry this and stuff like that?
Yeah, we definitely split the weight on food and stuff. Probably should split the weight on more things, but just haven't thought of it yet. But yeah, we work as a team.
Nice.
Same with going into town. We split errands and stuff like that so we could be more proactive and get back out faster. And nice. It's nice if you have to stay somewhere, you know, you can split the price of the hotel room or something like that too.
Have you ever been, I mean, I know that a lot of this is pre-planned and stuff. Have you ever been turned down for anything besides the lean-tos and stuff? You ever had any bad experiences, like negative?
Not really. You know, you meet some people that are questionable on trail. You meet a lot of people out here. There's some interesting people that, you know, kind of sway your mood a bit, but haven't been really turned down, I would say.
Good.
And if you see a spot and it's full or, you know, you don't like who's there, you just keep walking.
Right. Good point. Just keep walking, keep going. Get out of there.
Like 3 days in though, I'm setting up my hammock. I was solo hiking at this point and two guys in full camo approached me with guns in their hands. I'm like, oh boy, 3 days in and this is how I die. And it turns out they just were wondering if I had any string because they wanted to hang a turkey they caught from a sign and take a picture. I was like, okay, yeah, take whatever you want. But yeah, middle of Georgia, you know, you get approached and two big guys with shotguns come sneaking up behind you. It was a little dicey. turned out to be great people, though.
Glad you were wearing orange, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. In Georgia, that is the key right there for Appalachian Trail hikers. You got to wear bright colors or you're going to get shot. So, trying to think of some other questions, like on the, so what is the, this is a funny question I just came up with. So what is the longest day time that you have gone without a shower or cleaning your clothes?
Ooh, good question. Over a week, eight or nine days.
Wow.
I try and like, if I love to swim, so if I could find a stream or something, that's great, jump in. But laundry is a little bit harder. And yeah, this last stretch getting to my cousin's, like I haven't done laundry in like 8 days. But you stop smelling yourself and you start smelling people that are clean, like date hikers, and people walk by and you're like, oh wow, that person smells good. And I wonder if they can smell me. I'm sure they can. But it's funny, you don't smell other hikers either, because I guess you all just smell.
Yeah.
The collective scent.
I mean, when we were in the Shenandoahs, people didn't smell too bad. I mean, they have a lot of stops though, so I was guessing. But like, we met a group of 9 chicks, and like, they didn't smell bad at all. And guys, you know, the funny thing is, let me put in this, everybody, that Dylan is one of the few through hikers that you'll see that is clean shaven almost all the time.
I do shave, yes.
Just to let you know, he is not one of those guys that has like a 3-foot long beard. He is clean shaven. It's crazy.
Yeah, I carry a little, you know, I have a lot of luxury items. Razor and a little thing of shaving cream is one of them.
Hell yeah, man. It's hike your own hike, correct?
Yeah, I just feel, it makes me feel a little bit cleaner. Less things stick to me.
Correct. And that's the one thing that I saw with through hikers, that I smelled was their beards. I could smell their beards, which was really odd. Flavors. Ugh. So, God, I just had another question on my, so yeah. What has been your favorite kind of part that you would suggest for like a day hiker to do in so far on the Appalachian Trail?
Oh, I mean, North Carolina is beautiful.
Really?
Because you're so high up, and you know, I'm used to the rules of New York where you can't camp above 3,500 feet. And I've camped at some amazing spots, like 5,000 feet elevation. I'm like, how often do you get to do this? And, but for a day hiker or just like an overnighter, I mean, North Carolina has a lot to offer. It's a really cool state and a lot of amazing sections there. And I did it before all the leaves were on the trees up high. So, you know, you get views all day looking through the trees. It's really beautiful. Georgia's great too, but Georgia went by pretty fast. I think it's only like 70 plus miles through Georgia. And it's kind of the same thing. Really high mountains. You can camp up high. Very unique to what I'm used to in New York.
Yeah,
but I think every state has something to offer. I wouldn't recommend Pennsylvania unless you really like this. I mean, there's other spots in Pennsylvania I would recommend above the AT to go and day hike. But Tennessee was really neat. Maryland's cool. It's quick, but it's cool.
What's cool about Maryland?
The history is cool in Maryland. You go by some cool monuments and stuff. Like the original Washington monuments out there, and interesting graveyards and old battle sites and stuff.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty neat.
Crazy.
Yeah, I found the history down there was really neat. And Harper's Ferry in West Virginia, that was an interesting spot too. Cool old town. I love stopping in the towns too. Like, that's been a big thing for me is like, because when am I going to come back down here? I might, but some of these areas, I haven't explored down south so much. So it was important for me once in a while to just check out some of these quintessential southern towns and see what was going on around there. And they're really foster to the hiking community. They're really pro hikers. Everyone's really friendly. There's a lot of stuff for hikers to do. A lot of cool gear shops as well.
Yeah, definitely. I saw a lot in the Shenandoahs. It was really cool going off of the off trail just a little bit. And they have those awesome local like trail stores that have so much awesome gear.
Yeah, you can find anything you need.
Okay, so what's that one place that's like open pastures with the wild horses?
Oh yeah,
what's that called? Like something Gap?
No, with the wild ponies.
Yeah.
Grayson Highlands.
I heard her. Who's that? Is that your friend?
Yeah.
Tell her I said hi.
Stash says hi. Yeah, it's the Grayson Highlands, right when you're leaving Damascus.
How was that?
Here she comes. Do you see her?
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know you were on there. I didn't. No, your phone's not on. Your video is not on.
Oh, you can't see me?
No,
this
I can't.
Whole time you're just, oh, I thought you could see me this whole time.
No, I just thought save some battery or something. That's okay. Tell her I said hi. Tell her say hi on the show.
Give a shout out.
I couldn't hear. Well, tell her I said hi, and that I can't wait to hear more stories of her.
Oh yeah, she's fun. She's a cool cookie.
Cool, awesome. Well, so you've had like 0 days. What I mean, besides like probably washing laundry or doing laundry, what else do you do on your 0 days?
Eat a lot of food.
A lot of different food.
Hiker hunger is real. I can eat anything, and then I'm still hungry after.
Wow.
I've never been like this before. This is a totally new phenomenon for me, to be this hungry all the time. That's and I'm eating stick. Foods that I would never eat before. Like, I've never had a huge sweet tooth, but now I love candy. And I never drank a lot of soda, but I will pound a Pepsi. Wow. Or Mountain Dew.
Everybody loves Mountain Dew. That's why we carried the Coke, the Coca-Cola, because everybody loved it.
Oh, yeah. Liquid calories.
Yeah. Anything else that you I mean, besides rest and clean?
Just relax. Nice. Swim if you can. Check out the towns. See what's going on.
Yeah.
Check out the local breweries. I love the local brewery scenes, and maybe write a postcard home.
Nice. So speaking of the local breweries, didn't you have a job that was involved with a brewery?
Yeah, so I've done a lot with the North Brewery in Endicott, New York. I've done a lot of their murals and artwork there.
What do you think of the breweries down south compared to up here?
Great. I mean, yeah, I've been to some awesome places so far, and they're all very unique, and they all have their different thing going.
Nice. Nice. So being on the trail for 90 days, what do you miss?
I miss the Catskills. Right. I do. The terrain is so different out here compared. I think that'll change once I get to Vermont, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine. I think it'll be a lot more like what I'm used to at home. But I do miss, you know, some of the hikes out there. I miss the people out there. It's quiet out there too. It tends to be pretty busy out here.
Really?
Through hikers and section hikers and locals doing day hikes and stuff. You see a lot of people where, you know, I found a lot of great spots in the Catskills to go and isolate. I do miss that a little bit.
Anything about the real life that you miss besides hiking?
No, I don't miss my real life. I'm not looking forward to going back to that.
Oh.
I'll make it work though.
Yeah.
You know, as an artist, you know, I can kind of go wherever I want, do my own thing, but yeah, like day-to-day activities and stuff, like I don't miss that so much. I miss my cats.
Oh, miss my cats. Do you miss like warm like hot places, like warm, not the unpredictability, but you know, something that you can come home to and just be like, hey, you know, this is going to be good, instead of the all like, oh man, we're going to get some rain.
I've actually gotten used to the rain, or okay. It really doesn't bother me anymore. I kind of like the unpredictability of it all.
Nice.
I like, you know, what's going to be next around the corner. What's tomorrow going to bring?
Is there anything you're not looking forward to, buddy?
On this trail?
Yeah.
No, I can't say there's anything I'm not looking forward to.
Nice. Well, that's good. That's a positive attitude.
Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, I've been fortunate to not get injured. My legs are working. So as long as that keeps up, I should be good.
Nice. Nice. Well, Do you want to give any shout outs to anybody that,
shout out to my Catskill crew. Of course, Mo, who inspired me to come out here and hike. And of course, my good hiking buddies back at home, Josh, of course, Julia, Orion, Taylor, my winter hiking buddies.
Nice. Are they going to meet you up on the trail anytime?
They just, a few of them just met me 2 days ago.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm going to meet a lot of other friends pretty soon. I'm so close to home. So,
yeah, you know, you're getting there.
I put out an open invitation. I said, come on out. It's only a couple hour drive.
Is Josh going to meet you out there?
He's going to meet me in Vermont.
Oh, nice.
Family out there. Yeah, I'm looking forward. Vermont should be fun. I haven't spent much time in Vermont, and I've never hiked in Vermont, so that should be a good time.
Nice. That's going to be fantastic. Vermont, New Hampshire. Have you ever been up to New Hampshire?
I have not, and I almost did, and I was like, no, I'll save it for this trip to get my first taste. I know you were just out in New Hampshire.
Yeah,
it was, looking forward to getting out there.
It was fantastic, man. You're gonna enjoy. You know, the funny thing is a lot of people say, like, you know, New Hampshire, it's tough. It very is, but I think it's tougher elevation gain, but easier grip when hiking and stuff like that. So you're gonna fly through it. I think you're gonna have a great time in New Hampshire.
That's what I hear about, like the grades and stuff and the grip. Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. And I should be up there, you know, I'm hoping probably end of August, early September.
Maybe I'll have to plan something to go up and intercept somewhere.
That'd be great.
So anything else you wanna chat about while being on the live on the AT?
Well, if you get a chance, anybody listening, come out and support the Thru Hikers, even if it's just saying hi or bringing a water cache out. We appreciate it.
Definitely. You know, so
for the morale, you know, it brings us up quite a bit when we meet people that come out and support the hikers, for sure. And met some amazing ridge runners and trail maintainers, too. It's cool running into them on trail. You see guys out there with weed whackers and handsaws, and you know, nice. There's so much history and dedication to this trail, which makes it pretty neat. There's such a culture based around it.
I can only imagine, man. I mean, the diverse amount of group of people that we saw when we were down there in the Shenandoahs was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I can't wait to, you know, I'll have to go back down there when it's not a tropical storm and get the real taste of that.
Definitely. Well, you know, Dylan, that's all I got, man. Thank you for joining me. What about, so let's talk about the Catskills. What about post-hike brews and bites for the Catskills?
Oh, there's so many good places. You know, when I come to the Catskills, I take Route 17. So I go by the Roscoe Diner, which is one of my favorite spots. Love the Roscoe Diner. Love Catskill Brewery in Livingston Manor. If I'm in the Spruceton Valley, of course, Westkill, which I know a lot of people mention on here.
Yeah.
There's so many good places. I look forward to getting back out there.
And that's funny because you come from Route 17. That's like not many people come through that way.
Oh, yeah. The Great Western Catskills. It's beautiful out there. I like exploring those trails, especially out like by Downsville and stuff. Little pond, big pond out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot. And that's usually the quieter areas. And it's nice to find these little remote spots that are less traveled.
And most of them have great views when you're at the ponds or stuff like that. They got really good views of some mountains.
And good swimming.
Yes. Yes. And a lot of like a lot of history. There's so much history over in the Western Catskills. It's still there.
Yeah, I love it. And even like Trout Pond is a cool spot, and Mud Pond, that's a great loop out there.
Right. Everybody get out to these Western Catskills. You know, it's not, it might be muddy, but it's good.
You see a lot of bears out there too.
Yeah, I think that's more dense population of bears and deer, basically. A lot of my friends basically see the deer all the time, just walking right up to them.
Yeah. A lot of deer. I've seen so many. I've seen a lot of snakes recently. I love snakes. Copperheads and rattlesnakes galore out here.
Oh, wow. Really?
they're pretty fascinating.
Is that that's got to be scary?
Not really, because you kind of see them. You see them coming, so you can keep your distance. It would be a little more scary if you were to step on one, obviously, or something like that. But it's been neat. I've never seen them up close like this before, and so many. And a lot of other hikers don't see them, and they think that I'm just manifesting snakes, which maybe I am, but pretty cool. I've seen over 11 black bear so far.
Whoa, nice.
And tons of deer, tons of chipmunks, bald eagles, a lot of wildlife. It's really neat.
See, now I got to move all this stuff up. Now you lead to that question, and I'm like, I have some more questions. So one more question. What has been the most exciting part of the Appalachian Trail so far?
The most exciting part. Oof, that's a great question. What has been the most exciting part?
Like any moment?
I would say the most exciting part is just getting to top of some of these mountains and camping up there. I mean, for me, that was, like I said, where I'm used to not being able to camp above 3,500 feet, and to like see a sunset or a sunrise from 5,000 feet elevation is just amazing. And be able to lay in your hammock and look out and see that is quite unique. And you don't get that opportunity very often, especially in the Northeast.
Correct.
And I love views. And so that's the most exciting part for me, is when you get to these really cool spots that you have all to yourself and just get to soak it all in.
Nice. Sounds fascinating. And it sounds like you're having a great time. And I look forward to everything. I'll tag you in this, and I'll post your Instagram so people can follow you and follow your Facebook and everything like that.
Awesome. And I look forward to hearing more of your podcast. I love listening to it on the trail.
Well, I'm glad somebody does.
what episode is this, by the way?
84.
84. Awesome.
Didn't think I'd make it this far, but hopefully I'll keep it flowing.
Yeah. Let's get to 100.
Yes. Let's get to 100. Hopefully. I hope so. But, and once again, thank you for being part of this, Dylan. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck, and hopefully, we can intercept, and anybody wants to intercept with Dylan and just bring something trail magic. It's called trail magic. Anything and everything they would like.
Yeah. Keep me company for a few hours, you know, come hike a section. It's great. I invite anyone to come do that. You know,
I'll have to, you got to keep me informed when you get into the New York area. Cause I will try to get over there.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
That's what PTO is for. All right, man. Well, once again, thank you to the monthly supporters. Thank you to the sponsors. Thank you, everybody who is listening. I really appreciate it. Dylan, thanks for listening while on the trail. And I'm glad this brings you some Catskill memories, and it makes you feel good out on the trail, because that's what it's all about.
Oh, of course. Yeah, this is great. And I'm happy to be a part of it. So glad this worked out. Thanks for inviting me on.
Definitely. Thanks for getting a hold of me. You know, sometimes you might be too busy, but I'm glad you got a hold of me and we got to do this tonight. And once again, I look forward to your stories, and I look forward to you finishing on Katahdin.
Hell yeah. I can't wait.
All right. Keep it going. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you later.
Thanks. You too.
Yep.
Hey guys, I just want to thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe and throw down a smooth review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any podcast platform that you use. You can also check daily updates of the podcast, hikes, hiking memes, and local news on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the official website of the show. Remember this, you just keep on living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Wicked, 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 wicked.